Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 10 in just a moment. Last week we learned about rejoicing in the Lord. This week we're going to learn about God shall supply. God shall supply. Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse number 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the teachings. Lord, we thank you for the ability we have to rest upon you, trusting in you in each and every circumstance in our lives. Oh Lord, at this time, I pray you give me the words of wisdom to preach thus saith the Lord. I pray it will be an encouragement to each and every believer that is here this evening. I also pray if there's someone who is in our midst, Lord, they don't know the joy of sins forgiven. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that this would be the night that come to trust in you. Again, Lord, we just pray in each and every aspect that you're glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul was thankful for the Philippian Christians and their care for him in the work of the Lord. However, he wanted to know that their investment towards him was an important investment because it was for God. Distributing to the necessity of the saints. Giving to missionaries, supporting those who are out there doing a work that we're all involved in doing. We're laborers together with God. We are working together for the same goal in mind, to bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul wanted him to understand a simple truth. Distributing to the necessity of the saints is important, not because without them they won't make it. He wanted them to understand God is the provider. God is the provider. Sometimes we might look at people's lives and how we play a part and God uses us to give to them and help them in the work and think to ourselves, if we don't give, then they can't go. But God is the one who is taking care of their needs. And we get to be a part of it. We get to be laborers together with God. We get to be a part of the work. The Philippian church is one of the churches that were in Macedonia. And they were willing to give above that which they were able. They were willing to make sacrifices. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. They were willing to give in great trial of affliction. They were willing to make sacrifices. They ministered unto Paul through their giving to support him in the ministry. Regardless of their circumstance, they were willing to be involved in God's work. We don't need fancy capabilities. We don't need all these things that we have, gadgets and things that are provided us today. What we need is to be willing, to be a part of what God wants us to be a part of. God can take anyone, anywhere, and use them to do his work. And he'll enable them to be what they ought to be. They were used of God to be God's supply, the Philippians were. As we look at this passage of scripture, if you're taking notes, first of all, I want us to consider this evening, Paul is thankful for the Philippians' provision. Paul is thankful for the Philippians' provision. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, it says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, "But I have all in abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Paul did not take for granted the sacrifice from the Philippians. He was thankful. He was thankful. He looked at them as a sacrifice and what they had given as an acceptable thing that was well-pleasing to God. It was a sweet-smelling savor to God. Paul looked at their lives and he says, "I'm thankful for your work. I'm thankful for your investment in what you are doing." He rejoiced in the Lord greatly that their care for him had flourished again. When we consider the encouragement of this gift and what this gift meant to Paul, it should be a reminder of the importance of our giving to help people who are out doing the work of the Lord. Sometimes it's easy for us to think that we're the only ones that are doing something. And it's a great encouragement when you realize you're not the only one, that there's other people there who are willing to support you, to be behind you, to be involved in the work with you, so that you keep on doing what God wants you to do out in the field. Paul, at this time of thankfulness, was locked up and in jail. He was going through a difficult time. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." In our day and age, we might look at certain circumstances and think, well, if this person's locked up, what can they do? What are they going to accomplish if they've been thrown into jail? But the Bible teaches us, but because of his sacrifice and what Paul was doing when he was thrown into jail, that through him many people waxed bold. People looked at his life and what he had done for the Lord, and they were encouraged to go out and preach the gospel. They were encouraged to keep on pressing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. They looked at his life and said, "If he's willing to make the sacrifice, then I am too." They were emboldened. We need to learn from this and invest and people who are like this. We need to invest in people who are willing to make sacrifices for our God. Our investment can impact others, who will impact others, who will impact others, who will impact others. What we do with what we have and how we use it can make a world of difference to someone else around the world. We need to be willing to give sacrificially out of love for our God. Not just because so-and-so needs it, as we're going to learn about that this evening, but God is involved in this work. God is involved in this work. We see Paul's thankfulness for the provision of the Philippians. And secondly, this evening, we see Paul's contentment in Christ. Paul's contentment in Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Paul makes a statement as much as he is thankful. He does not speak in respect of want. Paul is telling the Philippians, he said, I am thankful for what you've given, but he says, I'm not speaking out of want. I didn't desire this gift. I'm thankful for this gift. Paul was not wanting the gift that was given for himself. What he wanted them to understand is he was not depending upon their givings. He was depending upon his God. He was relying upon the one who was taking care of him. He was content. Regardless of his state in life, he had learned to be content with what he had. With what we have and what we have been given, we need to learn to be content because God is the one who provides. We have what we need. As Christians, we can honestly say we have what we need. And you say, how can you make that statement? Because God has promised to give to us the things that we need. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He encourages us to always keep our minds and focused on him. Paul knew whether full, whether he was rich or hungry, whether he was poor, both to abound and to suffer need. Both to abound and suffer need. Whether he is poor, he's going to depend upon God. Whether he's rich, he was going to depend upon God. He knew he always had to suffer need. What was his need? He needed to be content in Christ. He needed to rely upon God. Regardless of state, he was relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is only made possible through humbly trusting in him. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll read at beginning verse number 2. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 2. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Paul wanted them to understand, the Philippians to understand when they gave to him. He was satisfied in Christ and Christ alone. It is only when we understand that we brought nothing into this world, we cannot take anything out of this world, we have what we have by the grace of God, then we understand that God is the one who takes care of us, God is the one who provides it for us, regardless of our circumstances, that we can serve him with all our might, that we can serve him as we ought to. Living a life that is pleasing to Christ and being satisfied with what we have been given. When we understand that man's eyes is never full, you can never be satisfied if you give your lives over to the flesh, as Pastor White was preaching on Wednesday night. When you understand that all you can only find true contentment when you are relying upon God and God alone, then will your life be satisfied. He was not motivated by the things of the world. He was motivated by his Savior. He was not motivated by his surroundings. He was motivated by his Savior. He was locked up in jail, but yet he could say, I can trust in God. God is going to take care of me. Paul was thankful for their provision, and he was content in Christ. And he also desired fruit for the Philippians' account. Number three this evening, Paul desired fruit for the Philippians' account. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, the Bible says, Now ye Philippians Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. For I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. One of the reasons why Paul was thankful for the gifts, it was not for personal reasons, it was for their own benefit, for the benefit of the Philippians. Their investment in Paul's life was an investment in eternal life. Their investment in giving to him was laying up for themselves treasures in heaven. He wanted fruit that would abound to their account. And he knew that when they gave to him and he was involved in doing the work, and when he won souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were willing to make that sacrifice to give to him, they were going to receive rewards. Because they were part of the work that we're all part of. Laborers together with God. When things are given in the name of Jesus to others, the result is something that fades not away. Something will last forever. We make investments in this world, and that's okay. There's wisdom in that. The Bible speaks of it, laying up for our children's children and other passages of Scripture. But the best investment we can make in this life is not on the thing, for the things of this world, but for eternal rewards. Laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Let us turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. The Bible says the following, Matthew 10:40, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. There are rewards for those who give in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who are invested in helping others who are doing the work of God, God is going to reward them. The Bible also speaks of rewards in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, turn there if you would, and we'll begin reading in verse number 19. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin reading in verse number 19. The Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. When they were involved in giving to Paul, they were involved in laying up for themselves treasures in heaven. They were given to something that would not fade away, that would be reserved in heaven for them. When they gave, they were willing to give out of what God had given to them, even to the point of sacrifice. When they gave to Paul, they were involved in important work that we all share in, and I'll read it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Paul looked at the Philippians as laborers together with God. He said, I didn't need what you gave to me. I'm trusting in God, but I'm thankful. Notwithstanding, he says, I'm thankful for what you've given because you're going to receive rewards for this. And I can encourage you, keep on giving. Keep on giving to the work of God. Keep on being a co-laborer in the field, bringing people to a place where they'll come to trust in Christ. Paul looked at the Philippians as laborers together with God. They played an equal part in God's work, and God would reward them. And finally, Paul is thankful for their givings. He is content in Christ. He desires that they give so that they would have fruit for their account. And finally, Paul states, God shall supply. My last point, God shall supply. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. God used the Philippians to supply Paul's needs. However, Paul knew they gave because of God's supply. Paul knew he was out in the field. He was able to do the work. He was able to do what God wanted him to do because of God's supply. Paul knew if they continued on giving, that they would receive rewards because God would supply. Paul understood this simple truth. God is in control. And God has given us a work to do. And we are involved in that work. And we work together. And we're invested in that work. At the end of it all, though, we're only able to do it because God is our supplier. He supplies us with strength. He supplies us with whatever else that we need in order to keep on pressing forward, whether it be courage, whether it be boldness, whether it be wisdom, whatever it is that we need, God is the one who supplies it to us. When we are invested in the work of the Lord, it is his supply. Paul could testify, regardless whether he was poor or rich, God was the one who provided for him. He didn't take for granted that every good gift and every perfect gift came from above. Turn your Bibles to the book of James. James chapter 1, in verse 16. James chapter 1, in verse 16. James chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Our very salvation came from God. Our riches are found in Christ Jesus. God in his word states that we're not the heir. We should know where we receive our gifts. We should know where we have received our strength. We should know who it is that provides these things for us. It is God. We should never proclaim in our lives, look at what I was able to do in my life. Look at all these things I was able to accomplish. Rather, we should say, look at what God was able to do through my life. Look at what God has blessed me with. Look at what God has done for me. It was given to us by God. We need to learn a simple truth of humility, that God is the one in control. I will read a passage. You don't have to turn there, but I think it fits in for this point in time. It's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, and verse 28. The Bible says the following, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the king of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the host of the kingdom by the might of my power and for honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make to thee grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. I make mention of this for this simple truth. God is in control. It's not what men's capable of doing. It's not what people think they're doing. It's God who's the one who's in control. We must realize when we give to a missionary to be part of God's work and we are involved in his work and doing his will, he's the one who provides for our needs. God is the provider for us, and God is provider for the missionary. What we have to give was given to us by God, and what the missionary has been given was given to him by God. Our needs are met when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When we put God first and we do what God tells us to do, God meets our needs. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, 25 and following, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye the first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about where the supply is coming from. God is your supplier. Don't worry about what tomorrow holds. God is your supplier. Don't worry about the future. God is our supplier. Regardless of circumstance, whether we're full, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, God will supply. God will take care of us. The following verses speak of God being the supplier. Genesis 48:15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long until this day. Deuteronomy 8, 3 and following, And he humbled thee, and suffered thee the hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. And then Psalm chapter 23, and beginning at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the host of the Lord forever. These are just a few passages, but they remind us of this: God provides. Paul reassured the Philippians that as they gave for the work of God, God was going to give for them. God was going to provide for them. Paul was thankful for the gift that the Philippians had given him. And he tells them that he did not seek it out of want, because he trusted in the Lord that the Lord was going to take care of him. God was his supplier, and he wished for them to give so that the Lord would reward them and they would have fruit that would abound to their account. Paul wanted them to know that they were working together in God's work, and God shall supply. And the reason why all this was possible is because Philippians could give through God's supply. Paul was content because of God's supply. Paul desired fruit for the Philippians' account through God's supply. All of this was made possible because God shall supply. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for all you do for us. And Lord, help us never take for granted all the things you provide us with. Lord, you not only provided us a home in heaven,